So therefore we ask, who are the scholars? Or what are the characteristics they possess? Let us look first at the great verse in Surah Fatir, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Those who truly fear their Lord, we will pause here. From the characteristic of the scholar is that he is consumed with the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has taqwa Allah, yakhsha Allah, fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Abdullah ibn Mas'ud explained to us so that we know what is taqwa. أن تعمل بطاعة الله على نور من الله ترجو ثواب الله. That you do what Allah has ordered using the enlightenment that Allah has given, which is the book of Allah and the sunnah of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, hoping for Allah's reward. وَهِيَ أَن تَتْرُكَ مَعْصِيَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ تَخْشَى عِقَابَ اللَّهِ. It is also to leave off all what Allah has prohibited, and you know it's prohibited, using the enlightenment from Allah, because you are in fear of His punishment. This is an eternal ingredient in the scholar, something that he must possess, this consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how can this be otherwise when Allah tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Fear Allah and He shall teach you. Fear Allah and He shall teach you. So the one who has true knowledge is consumed with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يخشى الله من عباده العلماء. From His servants. Allah gives them the name عباد. What is the عبد of Allah? This masjid, what's its name? عباد الرحمن. The scholar has all of the characteristics of عباد الرحمن. From them. وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. The scholar who is a servant of Allah. Allah describes the servants of Allah by saying, and the servants of Allah are those who, when they walk upon the face of the earth, and they are confronted with a person of ignorance, and he comes and he questions them, they say peace to him. Sheikh Salim al-Hilali explaining this verse in beautiful words, he says, the alim possesses this beautiful characteristic of not ever rejecting a person when he is asking him. Think, when you come and ask the person, you do not know the answer, and you're coming to ask, even if you put forth the question in an ignorant manner, in a manner that may be embarrassing to the person you are speaking to, the scholar will not stop you dead in your tracks. He will be kind, humble with you, because he worships and fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا. They are also those who stand up in their prayers during the night, standing and prostrating and standing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is also an internal characteristic of the scholar. Think of all of the imams. Al-Imam Abu Hanifa. Let me go down the list. Al-Imam Al-Nu'man ibn Bashir. Al-Imam Al-A'zam. What were his merits? A man came to him, and this is with an authentic chain of narration, and said, Ya Imam, how many times كم تختم القرآن? How many times do you recite the Qur'an in its entirety, from beginning to end? He told him, do you mean during the day, during one day, or during the course of a week or a month? He said, you recite it how many in one day? How many times do you finish the whole Qur'an at each single day in 24 hours? He says, are you asking me about the daylight or at night? Al-Imam, daylight or at night? He said, at night. For this is when most of us are sleeping. So So the Imam answered him, "Do you mean when I am reading from the book or standing in prayer?" Think, when I'm reading from the Mus'haf or when I am standing in prayer. Fatak, the man remained silent, would not ask anymore. Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i radiallahu anhu arda'ah, as is authentically reported, would recite the Quran in its entirety 60 times during the month of Ramadan, meaning in 30 days, twice a day, في غير صلاة, outside his regular prayers, outside nafl, sunnah, tahajjud, qiyam, the five daily prayers, outside all this, he would recite the Quran 60 times. Those who stand up and prostrate to Allah during the course of the night. وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ, and listen to the dua of the scholar, of the servant of Allah. رَبَّنَا, وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا صُرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمْ إِنَّ عَذَابَهَا كَانَ غَرَامًا. O Allah, take us away from ever being punished. Remove us ever from being from those who will be punished in the fire. Surely the punishment of the fire is everlasting and painful. The dua of the one who has become certain of Allah's authority. I recently, my brother and I were having a discussion, and he says, we heard of a man who is one of my father's friends. The doctors gave him 2 weeks to live. May Allah have mercy upon him. And my brother turned to me and said, what if that was you? You had 2 weeks. What would you do? I said, you know, Allahu A'lam. He said, I would go to Mecca and I would stay there for the 2 weeks. And I told him, but your life is still the same. Right now, you have these, instead of 2 weeks, you have a second. Who knows when you will pass away? What is the difference of a doctor telling you 2 weeks or you knowing with certainty that at any time Allah may take you? This is the certainty that the scholar has. The alim, he knows that at any time Allah may take him. So he is always constantly absorbed in the worship of Allah and asking Allah to save him ever from entering the fire. While we wait for a notice. I was giving a lecture in the United States and one of the children pulled the fire alarm as I was lecturing. And as the bylaws of the state are, everyone has to exit. And after about 15 minutes, the fire trucks and everyone came and checked that no one was in the building and there is no fire. We were admitted back to the building. And to me, I took it, subhanAllah, just by hearing the fire alarm, everyone jumped up. As if their time, khalas. While there should be a fire alarm with us constantly. Think of it. I'm not trying to be morbid, but who from us can guarantee for certain that he shall reach his home living? No one. The scholar has this certainty and therefore asks Allah to turn him from the fire. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا لَمْ يُصْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْصُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. The scholars, those who possess the characteristics of the slaves of Allah, are also the ones when they give in charity, they are not extravagant and they are not stingy whenever they spend, whether in charity or otherwise. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرًا. They are also the ones who will never call unto anyone or anything with Allah. Never call unto something or to a grave or to a dead person. They will only make dua to Allah. وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. And never will they kill a soul except with its truth. Allah does not say that they will never kill anyone. For a Muslim may be forced to be in this position. We here have a sheltered existence. while many of our brothers in every different continent that you can name are under some force or some type of resistance. So Allah says, إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ, except with its truth, except for a reason that is sanctioned by the Sharia. وَلَا يَزْنُونَ, and never do they come near to fornication. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا, whoever commits any of these heinous deeds, he shall be given a severe punishment. After Allah lists the punishment, he says, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابْ, another characteristic of the servants of Allah and the scholars, they completely and totally, constantly ask Allah for His forgiveness. إِلَّا مَنْ تَابْ, except for the one who repents, وَآمَنْ, and believes, وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا, and works righteous deeds, فَأُولَٰئِكْ, listen to Allah's mercy, mercy that cannot ever be equaled. For such a person who repents to Allah sincerely, يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنًا, Allah shall make their evil into good deeds. All of your evil has become good. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا, and surely Allah is the most forgiving, most merciful. وَمَنْ تَابَ وَعَمِنَ صَالِحًا فَإِنَّهُ يَتُوبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَتَابًا. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ, they are also those who never commit false testimony. Never will a scholar lie. Never will he backbite a true scholar. Everyone will fall into sin, but never will he do it intentionally without repenting for it. He will never commit these deeds of the tongue. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا, and when they pass by falsehood or play or something that is not valid, they move from it honorably and swiftly. These are the characteristics of the scholars. وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ, and listen to the final characteristic. Allah says, they are those who make dua. What is their dua? رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيٍ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. They are those who make dua to Allah and say, oh Allah, make from our children and our wives something that is pleasing to our eyes, and make us an example for the mu'mineen to follow. This is how you and I should be. As the ulama say, every Muslim and mu'min should want to be the example. You should want to be the one that everyone says, oh Allah, I wish my husband was like him. I wish my wife was like her. I wish my son was like him. My daughter was like her. You wish to be the example. For them, أُولَٰئِكَ, for them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall bless them with the Jannah. Also from the characteristics of the scholars, an explanation, a short explanation of the statement of an Imam al-Hasan, where he says, إِنَّمَا الْفَقِيهِ, to know the one who has fiqh, the one who has knowledge, هُوَ الزَّاهِدْ فِي الدُّنْيَا, he is the one who pushes away this worldly life. الرَّاغِبْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ, the one who is in search and hope for the hereafter. The one who is in hope of the hereafter. الْبَصِيرُ بِأَمْرِ دِينِهِ, the one who is constantly aware and focused on his religious obligations. المداوم على عبادة ربه, the one who is constantly worshipping his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are some of the characteristics of the scholars. Quickly, our fourth point, which is how we must honor and deal with them. First, a statement from Al-Imam Ali radiallahu anhu arda. He says, مِنْ حَقِّ الْعَالِمِ عَلَيْكِ, from the duty that you must perform for the scholar. What must you do if you ever come to a person who is a scholar, who is full of religious knowledge, who is teaching people goodness, who has the characteristics that we have described to you? What must you do? أن تسلم على القوم عامة وتخصه بالتحية, that that if you enter, as we are sitting and the scholar is in my place, that when you enter you say assalamu alaykum, but you come to him personally and give him his own salam. Look at Ali. Look at how he teaches us the manner. وَلَا تُشِيرَنَّ عِنْدَهُ بِيَدِكَ. Never point to him or in front of him. وَجْلِسْ أَمَامَ. Sit in front of him. Don't sit behind him, so that he can see you and converse with you. Do not be a pain so that he has to turn every while. وَلَا تَعْمِدَنَّ عَيْنَكَ غَيْرُهُ. Never focus your eyesight and your attention to anyone but him. If you're going to converse with someone, let it be him. Be with him, focus on him. Also, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ قَالَ فُلَان خِلَافَ قَوْلِهِ أَمَامَ الْمَلَأِ. And never say, I have heard another person say different than you in front of the people that he is sitting with. Look at the manners that we are taught. وَلَا تَأْخُذْ بِثَوْبِهِ. If he is tired and he's getting up to leave, don't hang on to him. وَلَا تُلِحَ عَلَيْهِ إِذَا كَفَلْ. And if he becomes tired or lazy, do not be constantly aggravating him. Well, what about this? What about this question? وَلَا تَشْبَعْ مِنْ طُولِ صُحْبَتِهِ. And never be too full of being with him. Remember Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, what he said? Those who hate knowledge and the scholars have a disease. You wish to love to be in his company, to learn from him. Why? Listen to the final statement of Al-Imam Ali. فَإِنَّمَا هُوَ كَالنَّخْلَةِ تَنْتَظِرُ مِنْهَا أَنْ يَسْقُطْ عَلَيْهَا أَنْ يَسْقُطْ مِنْكَ عَلَيْهَا أَنْ يَسْقُطْ عَلَيْكَ مِنْهَا شَيْءٍ. For the scholar is like a tree. You are waiting for a fruit from him to drop to you. His words of wisdom. Also, Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, so that you understand these examples, he says, never did I turn a page in front of Al-Imam Malik, except that I turned it so silently that he could not hear it, so that because I was afraid of him, I honored him. I wouldn't turn the page to disturb him when he was sitting. Therefore, Al-Imam al-Shafi'i student, because the one who learns manners will teach it. Al-Rabi' he said that when I was with Al-Imam Malik, I would never drink in front of him. I would be too shy to be occupied with something other than him. Finally, I say, the scholar is known by his students. The scholar, you want to know who a scholar is? Look at his students. Look at Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. Who were his students? Ibn al-Qayyim. Who was Ibn al-Qayyim's student? Ibn Kathir. Who's Ibn Kathir's student? Ibn Rajab. And you will go on and on and on and on. Why? The scholar begets a scholar. You want to know who a scholar is? Look at his students. And know that the scholar will give you the name of another scholar. And this is found precisely in the actions of the Sahaba. Whenever one of them could not answer a question or refused, as we will see in our later lectures, to answer a question, he would tell the person, go to him. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not leave us without guidance. And as we said, the scholar today is linked in word, must be linked in word, belief, and action to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is how you know the scholar. So this is what and who the scholars are. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our gathering and to descend His mercy upon us and to remember us with those who are near Him. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.